While we are being set up, I want to already start introducing the wrap-up session. No worries, I'll also take a look at the clock there. I don't want to unnecessarily and improperly make you depart later than necessary from this place. I think we've had a wealth of information, almost overwhelming, but definitely positive. I want to thank our partners, in particular WTO, our host, for organizing and participating in the organization of this event. I want to thank the speakers for sharing their insights with us, and I want to thank you all for participating, coming, participating actively. Again, I'm not attempting a layperson's summary of what we heard throughout the day, just to highlight a few recurrent themes and few recurrent questions which will probably stimulate our trilateral cooperation in the future. I think there was a certain consensus regarding both the diversity of the diversity of middle-income countries, as well as on this, there was also consensus that the concept of middle-income countries doesn't really fit the public health perspective, doesn't really fit their innovative capacities, nor does it fit their public health needs. We see countries like Hungary, Laos, Senegal, Mexico, India, all basically in this broad company. Someone said it's like the rest of the world when you look at soccer World Cup. There are really a number of questions that stood out for me. I mean, one question was, how do you innovate your way out of the middle-income trap? Still, it is an interesting question. Linked to that, also the question, can the Chinese model be replicated? Because that seems to be, China seems to be standing out in various respects in this area. What are, or more broadly speaking, what are successful and sustainable models for innovation in medical technologies? How do countries strengthen their innovative domestic capacities? And how do they become a member, an active member of the global innovation ecosystem? Should they try to develop directly their innovative bases? Or should they, as many middle-income countries, first build up their generic manufacturing capacity before they then start moving up the value chain? Another question that is really a bit at the border between innovation and access is, how do you incentivize needs-driven innovation to make sure that you respond to your public health needs in a specific country? And how do you address market failure, where the market doesn't set the right incentives for innovation? I think what was also highlighted a couple of times was the ownership and responsibilities of countries themselves, which do not always match their capacities. But what can a country do to enhance access and to build a robust health system that actually delivers? What can companies do better in order to ensure and enhance access? Differential pricing strategies within middle-income countries, licensing practices. Broader questions, I think broader, almost underlying questions were, how do you measure innovation and how do you measure access in medical technologies? I think this is something that also came up both in the morning as well as in the afternoon sessions, and that's something that perhaps we could explore further in the context of our trilateral collaboration. Well, it's easy for me to suggest that, since I'll be leaving at the end of this month and leaving the suggestion behind. Another underlying broad question was also put to us in the morning and partly answered by the colleague from Malaysia. How do you cooperate seamlessly and with impact among the various institutions that are in charge of issues of trade, innovation, and most importantly, public health? It's a domestic challenge, but it's definitely also an international challenge, a challenge to which we three organizations are trying to respond through our trilateral cooperation. So we hope that we can also set an example at the international level for cooperation, trilateral cooperation that actually has an impact. And I can just say for WIPO that we remain committed to participating actively in this trilateral cooperation. And this I can say for WIPO, not just for me personally, me who is gone at the end of this month. So we will continue. We will continue in our trilateral cooperation, organizing another trilateral symposium probably next year. We will continue coordinating our capacity building activities, and we will continue our activities to make the trilateral study, which is still available in the back of this room, more accessible for training. So we are working to transform that into a distance learning tool that can be used both in the context of our own trilateral cooperation and technical assistance activities, but also more broadly speaking as an online tool that is available to everyone who wants to learn more about issues of public health, the overlapping aspects of trade innovation and public health, and who doesn't want to read through something, as I think a reviewer said, would not win the Nobel Prize for Literature. So I think some of you have followed the discussions at these trilateral symposia. So I think if we still have 2 or 3 minutes after my two colleagues from WHO and WTO have spoken, we would also like to listen to you, whether you have any recommendations or suggestions for issues, topics, themes, and projects that we could pursue in the context of our trilateral cooperation. We would be grateful for your feedback. So thank you thanks to all of you, and again to WTO, WHO, and most importantly, to all of the speakers. Thanks. And now I pass the floor to Zafar.